Well, former president is on trial. That's right, jury selection yesterday. He had to help out along the way. In conversation is Bill Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor extraordinaire. And Bill back with us. Nice enough to give us a couple here on a Tuesday. Welcome, my friend. So here we go. Making history and everything else with a former president sitting in as far as an upcoming trial and jury selection. Bill, I don't see how he gets a fair one at every angle here. I don't see it. I cannot see Donald Trump getting a fair trial. Do you agree with that?
It's going to be extremely difficult, extremely difficult to be based on the reports. I mean, this is not live stream, but based on all the media reports of what went on, roughly half the people raised their hand and said they couldn't be impartial towards him. And then, of course, you're going to have a lot of people who didn't raise their hand who perhaps secretly could not be impartial to him. And that's really the concern, I think, whenever you have the jury selection in a location like this, in a high-profile political case like this, that you're going to have people who are not going to tell the truth, and they're not going to admit that they can't be impartial, and we'll try to sink them. It's, of course, theoretically possible that you could have someone who goes the other way and wants will get a hung jury. But in Manhattan, statistically, the likelihood is that, this is going to be an almost entirely Democrat jury, and I think it's going to be very tough for him.
Bill, I like to kind of pull the onion back a little bit on stuff like this. There's no doubt in my mind that he lied. There's no doubt in my mind that money was exchanged here. But to the magnitude, the stage, and I get it, the stage is that he is a former president and his last name is Trump, and I understand that. But, it's all about that, to me, the machine that spews out the venom here. Talking about the likes of the Alvin Braggs and the Letitia James and the orders, the marching orders, you would say, that they get in order to try and take this man down a rung on the ladder, especially during an election year. I just can't help but thinking about that.
Well, both Alvin Bragg and Letitia James ran for office promising to get Trump. And so, yeah, they're the ones who politicized it. And this is a case, this particular criminal case, which never should have been brought. They've come up with a novel theory of how you turn a misdemeanor books and records violation into a felony. And the claim is that this was done to violate federal election laws. And he's never been charged with violating federal election laws. Why is a local prosecutor invoking that? And so they're going to have to prove at this trial not only that it was a books and records violation, they're going to have to prove that it was done for the purpose of violating federal law. I don't know how they're going to prove that. The money, if he had paid for, I guess what they're saying is this is really should have been paid for by the campaign. But of course, if he had, and not by him, but if he had paid for it by the campaign, he'd be charged for that. So they'd claim it was personal. So, yeah, I mean, this puts him in a very difficult position. And I don't see how this survives appeal. But, of course, by then, he's lost 2 to 3 months out off the campaign trail. By the time you get done with an appeal, you're talking a year plus from now. So that's really the problem here. Alvin Bragg sat on this case. He could have brought this case a year or two earlier. We'd know the result. Instead, Donald Trump has to take 2+ months off the campaign trail because the judge is requiring him to be in court every single day.
And let's call it as it is, Bill. The fact is we're talking about Bragg, we're talking about James, but, let's talk about Juan Merchan, the judge in this case. I mean, let's face it, he is a campaign donor from 4 years ago regarding Biden-Harris and that whole campaign. Let's not forget that as well. I don't know where we have gone as far as the word fairness anymore in the justice system.
Well, it's not just fairness, it's also the purest of fairness. I mean, you have a presidential likely nominee, unless something strange happens between now and the convention, he'll be the nominee. And you've got a judge who at least presents the appearance of coming from a background who might be hostile to politically hostile. I think the judge should have recused himself. They should have gotten a judge who is beyond any question. Maybe legally it's not an actual conflict of interest that would require the judge to recuse, but he should have. He should have, knowing how politicized this case is, he should have recused himself. We should not have a judge in a case against Donald Trump whose daughter is a Democrat operative who has contributed in the past. It just, whether it's, you know, required or not, it would have been the right thing to do. Okay. Now I realize in Manhattan, state Supreme Court, you might have trouble finding a judge who doesn't have political connections. But that being said, I think there should be no question. It should not even appear to people that we have a judge who might be politically biased.
Not only that, the daughter of Merchant, I was reading, Bill, was involved as well as far as campaigning for, I think it was Adam Schiff, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it just reeks, you know, when you think about it. All, you know, you put all this in the proverbial salad bowl, and the ingredients, you know, crying out loud as far as what they're standing for. And it is unbelievable. Talk to me about the 34 charges here, Class E felony. Give me a sense, Class E felony, of the actual criminality of charges involved here.
Well, it's that he had the wrong entry on his books and records. Okay. Books and records, of course, that nobody was going to see, nobody was going to know about. So how is that? You know, they say he put it on his books and records that way to hide it from, you know, during the campaign. But nobody looks at Trump's books and records. Nobody would have known if he entered this a different way. So, you know, I think that because it was entered as legal fees instead of settlement, you know, nobody's going to see these records. So that whole theory is preposterous, that how he entered it on the company's books and records somehow was a federal election violation to hide it from the public. It was either going to become known or it wasn't going to become known. But how he entered it on his books and records wasn't going to factor into that, because nobody gets to look at Trump's books and records anyway. So I think the whole thing is preposterous. But even if it was a violation, okay, you shouldn't have entered it as legal fees. You should have entered it as a lawsuit settlement or some other sort of settlement. Really, that's what we're going to try to take down a presidential candidate on, you know. And if that is the case, he should have been charged years ago. I think it was a 2-year statute of limitation that long since passed. And so then they came up with this theory that, well, we can turn it into a felony and extend the statute of limitations by saying that it was done in order to violate another law. And that, I think, is really a stretch. At the time this was filed, even liberal legal commentators were being honest and saying this is novel, this is unusual, this is not a normal legal theory. The problem with our court system is if you don't get a good ruling from a, you know, trial court judge, you've got to wait till it's over to get a ruling from the appeals court. That's the problem here. This is a case that never should have been brought.
Bill Jacobson with us, Cornell Law professor. So basically, folks, if Trump is convicted of any of these 34 Class E felony counts, you know, he could be sentenced. Could be sentenced to 4 more years in prison, incarcerated before the November election. I don't think that'll happen in that regard. But nonetheless, I do think there will be something here as far as conviction. I don't see it any other way, especially the venue. I look at everything involved here, Bill. So in essence, what would be the next step if a conviction is in play, let's say, after 5 weeks?
Well, then he would go to sentencing. And I don't know what the timeline normally is in Manhattan criminal court, but in theory, he could be sentenced before the election. And we might have an election in November in which one of the candidates is either on probation or in prison or awaiting prison. So it would be a very messy situation. And this has been the Democrats' dream, to get him convicted before the election. Doesn't look like any of the federal cases are going to get there. You don't know, maybe the Miami one, but the other federal cases are all tied up in various legal proceedings. But that this is what they want, that a local prosecutor using a novel, unusual legal theory is going to potentially disrupt our presidential election and deprive voters of their choice in a real way. And force them to make the choice whether they will elect somebody pending appeal.
You know, but there'll be an appeal here without question, right? There'll be some sort of appeal.
Yeah, it would be up to the judge whether he gets, assuming there is a prison sentence, it would be up to the judge as to whether he can stay out of prison pending appeal. So this is a disastrous situation for our country. I'm sure Democrats are cheering. We know Democrat media is cheering. But this is an absolute disaster that a local prosecutor, using a novel legal theory, really never before tested, is going to potentially upend our presidential election. Because all the media and the Democrats like to claim is, you know, election interference, et cetera, et cetera. What these prosecutors are doing, at least in the Manhattan case, goes far beyond the interference that the Russians ever did or allegedly did back in 2016. This is really, frankly, disgusting that a prosecutor would run for office targeting a single person, which is what happened here.
Yeah, and I find it even more disgusting that you have a guy like Bragg, who did nothing, by the way, regard. Remember those group of teenagers who took down those two cops in Times Square and everything else? And, of course, they fled fled across the country, actually, before Bragg actually pointed out, oh, we're going to get them. And meanwhile, half of them are in Arizona for crying out loud. It's got to be offensive to all. It really does, as far as our justice system is concerned, to prop this individual up because of who he is and what he is running for, and to make a circus out of it. Bragg and Bragg, bottom and belly, whatever you want to call it. It's an absolute disgrace to this country with all that's going on, with all of the non-prosecution that goes on. It is unbelievable. It really is. And it should outrage every resident, law-abiding citizen in this country at this point in time. With the world on fire from all over the place, and even locally, with guys like Bragg who are elected to do a job and don't do their job. Instead, they're going to give you the playbook day one of their tenure as far as what crimes they're going to prosecute and what crimes they won't. I think everybody should be outraged over this.
I agree. You know, and the problem here is that there is no accountability for somebody like Alvin Bragg. There will be no accountability. And that's the problem. You know, prosecutors have enormous, enormous power. And they're given enormous, enormous discretion by the court system because, you know, they can't prosecute everything. But the reality is, if he wasn't named Donald Trump, he would not be on trial. These charges never would have been brought.
100%. I always go back to what Lee Zeldin, then, who lost to Kathy Hochul, Bill, as you know, by 300,000 votes day one of his regime. The first thing that Zeldin would have done was to terminate this clown. Known as Alvin Bragg, I'll tell you. What an absolute disgrace. And we'll keep an eye on things and look forward to having you back on the show. Can't thank you enough.
Great, thanks. Take care.
You got it.